Death and Reborn, the Ficti, Redditors proclaim as the best of Zoids. Hello, Zarian, it's me, Zarian. That one Zarian who wrote his Vera Persin fanfic, and also the Zarian who helped out writer Chad in his misery fic. I'm pretty excited for June 12th, but here we are with my stupid, foreboding spiel about a stupid fanfic. This rant will keep on repeating certain points because the stupid ficti is stuck in an Ouroboros circle of its own making, and it's also inconsistently bad. It has continuity errors here and there, misgenderings, a rule of three abuse, and even the misgenderings have a rule of three abuse, but let's just get down to brass tacks, shall we? Look at the chapter titles. They have no originality in them, and it's very obvious that it reeks of GPT-4.5 summary speak. I will use that language from here on out. Now, the chapter names are The Destruction, The End of a World, The End of a World, Sister in a Coma, A Survivor's Diary from Parts 1 through 3, and Semicolon. That's 7 chapters. So, The Destruction, it's chapter 1. It makes no sense, because it's very vague. Destruction of what? Destruction of what? And then the end of a world. Again, what? Whose world? Why be grandiose if you can't even fucking clarify whose world it is? Just say her world, Jesus Christ, McPike. And Sister in a Coma. Are you fucking kidding me? Are you fucking kidding me? And then, A Survivor's Diary. Parts 1 through 3. Everything's on the nose here, but the first two chapters are vague. They don't mean anything meaningful. It's so bad. It's so bad. And then here is the most on-the-nose metaphor slash chapter, but we'll get to that. That's semicolon now. For chapter 1, my grievances. I'll list down each. Maya's frustrations with Coco are a literal checklist. Naga, the defenestration attempt, the post-canon Ica plot, if you guys know ball about that. She lists them down as she assaults Coco. Hair pull, first slap, second slap, punch! The extended wrist grab and monologue. Maya's anger is a grievance cue, and it is dispatching them in escalating severity. Procedural drama. Bullshit! Every action beat of the three assaults is narrated with similes. The similes are fucking announced. No sense of accumulation. Literally every simile is identical. Or cancel each other out. Like a dam. Or like a volcano. What are you supposed to convey here? Seriously, what the fuck are you supposed to convey here? Summary speak dialogue will plague every single line from here on out. Well, except from parts of the diary entries in chapters 4, 5, and 6. But again, we'll get to that. Adverb-dependent dialogue attribution. The ones ending with dash ly. Ly. Every fucking word. Instead of showing character body language, this retarded author just uses these adverbs like eating from a piss dispenser. I'm gonna use these every single time. Nom 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 nom. It was a slog. It was a drag to read through each and every one of them. Emotional narration has no sense of sentence variance whatsoever, and every emotional beat is on the fucking nose. Characters are sad or overwhelmed? They'll fucking say it out loud! Oh, God. And that's just chapter one. By the way. Now, chapter 2. The End of a World, the Suicide Attempt. Coco gets misgendered by the narration. You wanna see what the narration is? No. Whatever, she gets misgendered, that's all you need to know. And then, the nightmare sequence. I'll get to the prose later, but here, it's written as a fucking report. It's not even a show and tell. Look at this passage. Today I got confirmation that I'm the biggest piece of shit. It's in a diary entry. For the nightmare. The suicide note is literal GPT 4.5 prose. Maya is writing not a farewell, not even a resignation letter, but a fucking pink slip. Hey, I get to use Rule 3 because I'm human, and I'm aware that I'm using them, but this guy, it's his default. It's his fucking default, and you'll see it everywhere if you read it yourself, but take my word for it, that he uses it like a fucking blueprint. Anyway, for the pink slip, the joke is Maya doesn't even get to write her own fucking goodbye. No idiosyncrasies whatsoever. Everything is relayed to you in conclusion of what is not even gonna happen yet. Annotation speak, summary speak, in the first two chapters, and then the first three to six, the chapters, the diary entry chapters, just, it's a fucking jarring. You have prose that describes everything to you, everything that's happening to you, without any sense of emotion landing, and then the diary entry prose tries to rectify that, but it fails miserably. Let me continue in chapter 2 here. The distinction of biological and adoptive daughters on your fucking face, as if you, the reader, don't fucking know that already. It's fanfic register failing to be fanfic register. Yeah, I know fanfic literature, quote unquote, is you know, just telling you everything with he, she, x, y. Bullshit, it has no room for subtlety, but this fic takes it to a whole new level. It just has to tell you everything is happening. Everything about everything is happening. And, can I do some work here besides, well, you are putting me to work, Mr. Autism Denial Disorder, and it's making me read your sorry excuse of a fanfic. The description of the suicide attempt is the only thing that somehow has good traction in these two chapters, but Coco also has a bad dream, but it is not described what it is, and she enters the bathroom a la Deus Ex Machina. The plot just has to happen, okay? No pretense for a payoff that is meant to be huge for Coco waking up from a dream. You know, it's just meant to be a parallel without explaining itself that it's a parallel. I mean, that could work, but here it doesn't, because there's no plant. There's no plant that Coco also gets to have a bad dream. It just has to happen. The plot just has to move forward, because Maimai had a nightmare about Ebki telling her to disappear! But then Coco's dream doesn't get described. If the symmetry is meant to be intentional, fine, but as an aside, it doesn't work. You know why? Because you're trying to plant a parallel that doesn't mean anything. Maya has an elaborate dream. Coco just has two, I guess. But it's not actually elaborate. She just has a bad dream too. Yeah, how meaningful. The word palpable is overused in chapter 2, and again, the rule of 3 is raped beyond oblivion. Yeah, that's it pretty much. Chapter 3. Nodded silently is used twice in the same chapter. Zoe treats Maya's struggles as if it was a Q4 report. Last night, after dinner, your father and I talked. We felt something was wrong. We decided to have a family discussion as soon as possible. We thought it was just a teenage crisis or minor troubles, but in reality, the problem was far deeper than we ever imagined. Did either of you notice anything unusual about Maya recently? It's so bad. I'm sorry about the impression, but yeah. It's that awful. Is Zoe trying to be a mother here, or is she a fucking paralegal? Their anger was evident, but they decided to postpone the conversation. after Coco tells them about, you know, the beating that she received from Maya and the suicide attempt she witnessed, fucking kill them. And then when we get to Vera. The weird Vera intrusion about her drinking wine at night. The Nirvana logo mug is described as Nirvana logo mug. Like, it doesn't even say that it's a Nevermind smiley, or it has a smiley etched into it. It just says Nevermind logo mug.
You know, there are various Nevermind logos out there, right? The smiley just being one of them. But this author doesn't even differentiate. It just says Nevermind logo mug. And then some sentences, meant to be run on, become cut out declaratives. Here, in the Vera section, it says, although she often found the student enigmatic, and she saw wasted potential in her, period, she also thought about Coco and Mai Mai. And although she thought the blonde was a bit of a dork and hated the fake redhead, she tried to put herself in their shoes and the suffering they must be going through. I'll paste the annotations text on the cat box link too, so you'll understand. I hate this book. Overwhelmed is apparently an obligatory verb. So to murmur. And no room to leave emotional interpretation, no opacity of any sort. The solemnity of Vera's announcement has to be, of course, announced. You know, the parallel of her drinking wine at night, her self-destruction, is, the book tells you it is a parallel to Maya's self-destruction. Again, it's not trying to be subtle. It's trying to make you feel something. But instead of trying to make you feel something, it just tells you that this is what you're supposed to feel, which is in and of itself condescending. Are you supposed to compel emotion? Yes, you are, apparently. Fucking irritation, indignance, that's what you're trying to make me feel here. Not the emotions suggested by Vera's self-destruction or Maya's suicide attempt. Here's another passage. Before class began, Vera asked the two sisters to come to her office. She seemed more composed than usual, likely thanks to her sobriety the night before, but also visibly shaken. Again, annotated emotions right in front of the text. I'm not that retarded. Because the prose is constantly trying to compulsively guilt-trip you that Maya isn't at school, and that Vera is, you know, destroying herself at the same vein. I'm trying to shout right now, but I've run out of energy just trying to write down the annotations alone. There will be yelling, I assure you. Pilot callbacks, the concentration camp callback, they're delivered flat, which could work, but, no, they don't work here. If you read the text, they just don't work. I forgot to mention that every character voice is the same, besides the diary entries having a bit of flair that Mai is the one speaking them, but in the prose itself, everyone sounds the same. Nobody has their distinct voice. Because everyone gets to use alluded to institutional language, formal language, and summary speak. Vera uses it, Maya uses it, Coco uses it, Zoe is the big vendor. And, you know, the thing about chapter 3 is after the diary entry about after the coma, which is written 3 weeks later, Maya, who suffered from hypovolemic shock, is ready to be woken up from her chemically induced coma later that afternoon. Do you know what that means? I'll elaborate later. Even House MD in Grey's Anatomy can't pull out shit like this. And those procedurals already have melodrama embedded in them. And here it is cranked up to an 11 without actually being melodrama. It's just a facsimile of melodrama. It's melodrama trying to be melodrama, if you get what I mean. Okay, chapter 4. The three weeks after entry. It is peak summary speak. Unlike the entries in 4, 5, and 6, chapters 4 and 5, 6, the prose here still reeks of GPT 4.5. Maya's narration is not distinct from the rest of the prose. She also doesn't describe anything bodily besides the nothingness of the coma. coma. Pretty sure you'd have physical lingering fatigue of losing volumetric amounts of blood filling the bathtub. And the prose should reflect this. But no! Let's magically wake up like Sleeping Beauty from an actual life-threatening condition. Let's just do that. Let's just be convenient. let's just present the stakes that happened before as, well, they weren't really stakes at all. You know, let's just rectify that as if nothing happened. Let's just pretend that she didn't try to kill herself. While also stating on the next chapters that she did! And here, that other Zarian pointed out. Although, it's clear that she was sent here. Well, it's not really clear, but You can tell that she was sent to a mental hospital here, but the being sent to psychiatry arc is also very much vague. You can tell that it's a mental hospital, but how it's delivered is also vague. And the fact that there's no institutional language being used means that this is a Marn's concept of what the hospital does. The lack of dedicated language is telling of the lack of research. But it makes sense, considering that in February 2025, like I said, GPT 4.5 was the model of the time. So it was not as advanced to delve into jargon. Maya would at least specify what her doctor told her on her fucking diary, like what kind of meds, what procedures, even the therapy speak that was used, but, you know, considering people with anxiety are naturally inclined to state the sources of what trigger them, that doesn't happen here, at least not in this chapter. It does happen later on, but it's still insufficiently placed later on. And here it doesn't happen when it's supposed to happen. A fucking mental hospital should be specific enough, and it should pay off here, but it just doesn't happen. It's wasted opportunity. It's rich material that the author does not use, and it just doesn't disappoint me. It just doesn't make me mad. It's making me care, and that's worse. The fact that she doesn't do it here is clear that ADD, Autism Denial Disorder, doesn't understand social anxiety either. And the fact that he doesn't write it, and the fact that he doesn't write down 112 being the emergency hotline number dialed when Amaya was sent to hospital back in chapter 3 is also telling of lazy writing. Because the prose there says, Ravi frantically gave their address to the paramedics. How is that supposed to happen? Like, the paramedics aren't even there yet. They're not present at the bathroom, and he just frantically gives them their address. It's a collapse of three events, dialing the paramedics, them receiving it, and them coming there. All at once, into one passage that doesn't make sense. It's a clause that shouldn't exist, and yet it does. Also, it calls the mental hospital a specialized institute. Oh, fuck you. Just fuck you. I'm just very mad about this, because in my work, I used the very specific language, or the Dutch institution I used for Barry's school. They're just authors who just love to write white noise environments where, this happened in this specific place without specifying what this place actually is. I'm just going to tell you that she did these things, so and so, without actually telling you that she did it in this place. I'm trying to articulate, but I'm losing brain cells over here. I'm sorry. What I'm saying is that there is no placement to anchor for the place for where is this supposed to happen. It doesn't tell you that it happens in a Netherlands setting. It doesn't even tell you that it happens in a specific Netherlands hospital setting. It's all generalized vagueness. And it is telling of an author who just knows hearsay. And then the language. ADD and social phobia. It makes sense, because in the pilot, Maya does use ADD to refer to her attention deficit disorder, which is a Diagnostics and Statistics Manual, Volume 4 or Edition 4, whatever, DSM-4 designation. I guess I can see why Maya would use that. She uses an outdated term because she was probably diagnosed when DSM-4 was still being used in the late 2000s. And for whatever reason, she kept that into memory. She would keep that into memory, which makes sense. It tracks for a character. But then, it doesn't make sense here. It has no anchor as to why she would use it here. The ADD and social phobia. Because social phobia itself is also a DSM-4 diagnosis. But it doesn't make sense because the register shift is in an already nonsensical shift. There is no narrative explication where it could have been very useful here. Not even in her diary entry of Maya asserting her DSM-4 leanings. It just doesn't do that. The author is trying to actually trust you to know this. Here, when it's supposed to matter that this is too subtle, this is too opaque for even the most curated reader, they would wonder, ADD, that's quite an outdated term. Why would Maya use it? And it would be useful here! But no! Maya would specify this. It's a register mode failure. This author's so bad. And the diary entry itself, in chapter 4, it's just another... The therapy session itself is just another summary within a summary of chapter 2. I want to claw my eyes out, you know. I want to claw my eyes out. Why do I care so much? Oh, Jesus fucking Christ. School phobia for Arno, was it? I think. Or that other guy? I forget. And the diary section in chapter 4, it's nothing like Maya Males. At least 5 and 6 resemble Maya Males, but here... There's no fidelity. Not one mention of Pippi Longstocking in all of them. Come on, man. Not one mention of Pippi Longstocking, really? And, of course, listicles. You know listicles, right? When you list stuff. They should make sense in diary prose. I'm tired, man. I'm just tired. I'm exhausted. Listicles? In diary format? Nah, we don't do that here, brah. We don't do that here. We don't do that here in Mayakanda. We don't do that here. Chapter 5. Oh yeah, the bodily Hertog factoid. It's autism denial disorder trying to be cutesy about his research. Look at me, I tried to actually put research on my fucking work for once. And it falls dead on arrival because Maya's nationalism isn't even described in the text until this point. No anchorage, no foreshadowing, no nothing! But the pilot already did that! And you said it yourself, Mr. Zarian! Fanfic register! You know, it means that you, the reader, already know what happened with the... You already have lore embedded in your mind that Maya is a nationalist! Fuck you! Can there be at least one fucking plant in the text itself beyond this non sequitur? Fucking nigger! Also, apparently you're not allowed to have technology when you're in a mental hospital anyway, according to that one Zarian and to my own search. Even if it depends on the institution, the rule of thumb is that technology can be a stressor, and so phones are generally prohibited. Maya and Arno and Anna make text exchanges in a mental hospital, which is... generally, not supposed to happen. Enough of that. It's fucking raining over here, so I'll... hold on. Oh, it's raining. You know what? The rain works as atmosphere, anyway. Excuse me. The barley thread goes on. 3 separate instances. Another reel of 3. Another blueprint marker of the AI pros. And here... the prose also But after the Barley Heft talk mentions, it finally starts writing as if ADD, the author, is finally putting the pen down. But still, he has used GPT 4.5 extensively enough that it has plagued his writing patterns. So it's pointless. It's pointless anyway. You've used GPT as your source material for how you write. So you'll end up writing like it. You're training on AI-trained data. You fucking author! If you could even call yourself that. I'm just gonna call you a prompter from now on, okay? There's another passage. We admitted that even though we lived under the same roof, we'd never gotten to know each other. She wanted to make the first move, but I was too withdrawn. I explained that sometimes I wanted to do things with her, but my social anxiety and awkwardness got in the way. Look at this. It's good prose. It's X, Y, and Z. It's X, then Y, Z, then A, B, then C. Rhyming accumulated construction is okay. It's good writing. Only if you knew how to fucking use it earlier! And then there's another, and then it ruins it when Maya says that I've gained back 3 kilos and am now down to 42 kilograms. This author, this prompter, can't even do basic math, apparently. Or, you know, logical, a combination of logic. I'm losing myself. I'm sorry, Zarians. I'm losing myself. And the rain's getting louder, sorry. There's another part of the entry where she says, "What if it's too onkzelig?" Haha. The one Jemmy self-aware tangent that closely resembles Maya Mail's, and it's fucking wasted. Because again, a fucking consistency issue. And the entries here are clearly devolving back into... It's devolving into fanfic register. I still consider fanfic register inferior to begin with, so... I can tell you that much. It wouldn't be a problem, but since it's established the prompter himself is likely a tween, there's no point in being merciful. Go fucking read a fucking book, you stupid nigger. Did I mention that chapter summaries are repetitive as shit? And now here's chapter 6. Anna gets misgendered when she and Maya talk about Maya's doubts about her future. The fact that 2 misgenderings happen, and there will be a 3rd, isn't just a proofreading failure. The hallucinatory artifact remains. And Arno is my boyfriend now, teehee. Okay, fuck you, Maya. You hurt my chunks of life. And then the Zoe nightmare, there's a sorry, that's my chicken. I live by a homestead. Zoe nightmare. Replacable. I mean, I appreciate that that's at least a human error. Shut up, rooster! I appreciate the human error, to say the least, but still. The human error also lies in the use of AI prose. Again, I'm circling. I'm sorry. Stop! I don't have much to say about the Arna boyfriend reveal thread. It's mediocre, and the fact that hitting me... that fact hitting me, as I've already slogged through 6 chapters of abysmal dog shit, isn't reprieve. It's further disappointment that... if I wasn't spared from terrible writing, I'd have been spared from a boring one. You get what I mean.
Man, why do I live by a farm?
Sorry. My personal life is getting into this. Basically what I'm trying to say is, if I wasn't getting dog shit, I'd instead be getting boring shit. Which is not an upgrade anyway. And then when she meets... when she meets Ifke, after Coco invites her over or something. For some reason, Maya doesn't use colloquial language. She uses cannabis to refer to weed. Again, another register failure. And then there's also Vera telling her she has ADHD instead of ADD.
another character inconsistency. It doesn't even narrate to you that Maya has stopped using DSM-4 language. It just has to... The one use of subtlety, and it's used wrong. The evolution of Maya being accepting of her newfound institutional language, and it's not used correctly. And then there was a jarring insertion of narrative prose after her birthday in italics. And then it's back to AI prose! Yippee! And then the worst offender of them all, if everything else wasn't already. The semicolon, a metaphor for a suicide attempt, is spoon-fed to me like I have Down syndrome, that I'm incapable of understanding nuance. I really, 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 really wanted to stop reading here. But I had to continue, I just had to. Anna nodded with a smile, then motioned for him to follow her to his room. Okay. The hymn is supposed to be in reference to Maya, since Arno is not present here anymore, because later on it would be elaborated that Maya broke up with Arno. A third misgendering pronoun has hit the fanfic. For whatever reason, the entry for September 21, 2021 returns back to summary speak when the entries in chapters 5 and 6 at least resembled some idiosyncrasies and bits of Maya's social anxiety. The boyfriend reveal to Maimei and Koku at the beach, when the boys their age approached them, was the closest resemblance of social anxiety. And then it's undermined here with AI prose. And another insertion after the birthday entry. Again, it's a pattern established by the AI. I just have to pause for a moment.
Okay, where was I? I was taking a smoke break. Mom, where are my
fucking footnotes? Where are my annotations? Fuck!
December 20 entry is just Maya being a faggot now. She gets Cleo during a drinking game, and I get that the rainbow bracelet planted earlier in an earlier chapter that I forgot anymore was a plant to that characterization, but this is clearly ideological faggot nonsense. And when she gets wasted with Ifke, she describes it as comatose. The hyperbole aside, this is clearly a terrible use of it. It's meant to echo the actual coma she had a few years ago. But just fucking call it a hangover. Just fucking call things what they are. And not ad nauseum. And what this fanfic does is, it doesn't just call what things they are. It has to remind you that the things that are that thing. Thing is thing is thing. And it can't do that. And if it does try to not do that, it does it badly. Hold on, that's my alarm. Okay.
Fuck! It's a terrible fanfic. Its gimmick is retarded. The Arno breakup is paced stupidly, Ifke being a bad influence tracks, but its introduction here is also badly juxtaposed. The attacked decision of Maya staying there is rushed. Every detail adds up with no semblance of anchorage. The animal-loving realization isn't framed as retrospective, but a late realization 3 years later, which is fucking stupid! She is naming it as an identification when it's already implicit in the text from the Naga punch slap thing that she did to Koko. And then Maya is a whore now. She has a one-night stand. That tracks though, but still. The final diary entry is a retrospective of the narrative, and it is also
narrational prose established in the earlier part of the chapter explaining the semicolon. It is a great temporal dissonance device to use in an otherwise shitty work. I have other grievances. There's no sense of Dutch atmosphere, next to no expressions besides food and place nouns, no Dutch exclusive institutional hijinks in the 3 months she spent in the mental hospital, and not for school either. There's no HAVO, WBMBO, VWO, nothing suggesting of the fucking Netherlands that they live in, besides the Bali tangent, and even then that was played as a non sequitur gag. The stop method in therapy getting a passing mention is insufficient if you're trying to write a fucking meaningful story surrounding it. Maya being a bisexual whore, though a logical conclusion for someone like her, is not something I disagree on principle, but something I disagree with narratively. Coco giving her a rainbow bracelet as if Coco was great on reading her sister, not knowing Maya fucking hated her to begin with, is a stupid dogshit character. It makes no sense, and Maya's reprobate nature, even if it suggests this, would be too subtle for someone as ditzy as Coco. It's retarded. Again, Coco acts as Deus Ex Machina twice in the same fucking fanfic. My embracing me, her Asian roots by the end, has no foreshadowing. She has three character moments. The barley gag, Maya suggesting she needs therapy, and a spontaneous renewal of her character as a lawyer to go back to her roots. The hair roots gag being the only, you know, the only character allusion to that actually resembles nuance. And it has an art that makes no narrative, that leaves no narrative meat. And Kiki is also abandoned, but that's besides the point. I fucking hate this book. It doesn't trust its reader to be competent enough to understand nuance, so it reads almost every notion of it, and it tells you it means anything. It does. It's a badly written story because it fails to distinguish telling an experience from actually having one. Thank you for listening to me. I hate this fanfic so much!